nice to see all you amazing people. As you probably gathered, I'm quite nervous, as this is a first, so you have to bear with me if I'm a bit all over the shop. It's been a bit of a strange day as well. Some things have happened that I was not expecting that have slightly thrown me. So anyway, I've got the amazing Dawn on the PowerPoint, which is what I need to give me a few things to hopefully keep you awake. I think the title is absolutely amazing because a secret that changes everything. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? Everything. And it's a secret. And Natalie read it to us very clearly what the secret's about. I actually, when I was looking at this passage, I fondly thought, oh, I'll find a commentary or somewhere that tells me all the answers, or I'll go online and find a sermon that will tell me all the answers. Actually, I couldn't. So in the end, for me, I decided that there are two secrets, really, in this passage. Now, this picture is of a book. Does anybody know this book? I'm very glad if you don't know this book, because somebody lent it to me a few years ago. I was going through a pretty awful time. I was post many ops on my insides, and I was not in a good place. And she gave me this book, and she said, I've read this book, and I've never been so happy since I read this book. I think you should read it. So I was like, right, this is the answer to the world. So I read this book, and it's a whole philosophy about how what happens to you comes from the universe, and you attract it to yourself by your thought processes. Well, of course, if you're in the state that I was currently in, with a completely demolished inside, a spirit down there somewhere, I had clearly attracted all these things to myself. So actually, this book made me feel very sad and bad, and I handed it back rapidly going, oh, well, thank you very much. But so I would advise you to keep away from this book that says it's the secret that might change your life, because it jolly well didn't help me. And the real secret in this passage is something amazing that can help us all. Okay, right. Now, you may have secrets in your life that have changed things. I once had a patient who suddenly found she had a half-sister when she was probably in her 50s. And actually, it changed the whole balance of their family in a very good way. But it was a secret they only found out when the dad died. And people do have secrets that change their life. Sometimes you hear about people, don't you, who find they've got a massive inheritance or really they're a secret prince or something. And their whole lives are different. None of those things have happened to me, sadly. But anyway. So if we could just have the next picture. In the last 3 years, I have had an amazing secret to keep three times over now. And the first time, it was particularly emotional because we'd been waiting a long time for this secret to happen. And we began to think it would never happen. And I had a call from India to tell me that actually it looked like this secret might be going to happen. And this particular secret, I hope the people here don't mind, this is their special secret, which is now public. The secret of a new life that I'd been told about, but I had to keep secret for some weeks, because obviously we don't tell anybody about babies, do we, till we get to the dreaded 13 weeks or whatever it is. And so that's a very special, and that secret each time has changed my life drastically, because one, it's the fulfillment of hope and joy in my children. Two, my whole life changes. I become a grandmother, which is something quite different in life. And grandchildren are, as everyone tells you, the best thing since sliced bread. And you give them back, so that's great, but they're wonderful. So that's the secret. Anyway, coming back to what we're supposed to be talking about, I'm just going to, if we could go to the next one, I'm going to go to what I think is the second secret, because I think there are two. He talks about the mystery, and then the first passage talks about that wonderful hymn we sang, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory, which is really what I think we're supposed to be talking about, although I don't know what Trevor spoke about. But in any case, this bit, I think if we just look at that, that's just in the message. I want you woven into a tapestry of love, in touch with everything there is to know of God. Then you will have minds confident and at rest, focused on Christ, God's great mystery. All the richest treasures of wisdom and knowledge are embedded in that mystery and nowhere else. And we've been shown the mystery. Now, if you were here last week, you would have heard Chris explaining very clearly about this mystery, how God showed us himself in Jesus. And actually, I was getting quite nervous because I was thinking he's taking everything I thought I was going to say and saying it all. But anyway, it does bear repetition, doesn't it? That God was revealed to us in Jesus. If we could just have the next one. You'll remember these passages well, won't you? The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son. No one has ever actually seen God, but of course his only Son has, for he is the companion of the Father and has told us all about him. So like Chris was saying last week, the magical, wonderful, brilliant, fantastic incarnation that shows us who God really is. And every time I think when I get anxious or whatever, you can just go back to the Gospels, can't you, and think of Jesus becoming like one of us. And That's the only way we could ever understand God, really, when you think about it, isn't it? To see him here. So, the secret of God being revealed in Jesus after all the time of waiting. Can I have the next one, please? Long ago, God spoke in many different ways to our fathers, but now in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son, to whom he has given everything and through whom he has made the world and everything there is. Chris was talking about that last week, wasn't he? God's Son shines out with God's glory, and all that God's Son is, and sorry, all that God's Son is and does marks him as God. So that's the number one mystery. So then if we go on to the other one, can I have the next one? Oh, sorry. This is just light relief if you got bored. These two pictures, it's not really the same at all, but it just struck me. The little girl on the right, you may recognize, is my granddaughter, Grace, my beloved Grace. And the little girl on the other side is not Grace, but when I asked Grace who it was, she said, oh, that's Grace, that's me. Well, because it isn't Grace, because it's actually me 60 years earlier. So just thinking about family likenesses, that God, Jesus, I know it's not like the physical likeness, but, you know, we bear, don't we, through our generations, the likeness of each other. And God has become incarnate in Jesus, and we see God in him. So not that I'm claiming anything to do with that, but just that it's an example, isn't it, of similarity. Okay, if we go on to the next one. This is the thing I suspect, I don't know, Chris, but is this what you really expected to talk about? Probably. Sorry, failed the first test anyway. Oh, that's good. Thank you. So this is the other bit, which comes earlier. And this is the bit that Ali's been singing about and we've all been singing about. And it's perfect. We only needed that hymn, really, didn't we? This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you, therefore you can look forward to sharing God's glory. So that's the nutshell of it. Christ is in you, therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. If I could have the next one. I wondered really about glory, what does it mean? Because it comes up all over the place in the Bible, in lots of different contexts. It also comes up in modern life. That's a couple of definitions from one of the online dictionaries. And I think maybe the first one, maybe we'd think more of great admiration, honor, and praise that you earn by achieving something. So like these football stars and Olympic athletes and tennis players, and everyone gives them great glory around them. The other one that I think of when I look at sunsets and amazing mountains, and I really meant to put some shots in, but I didn't get to it, I'm afraid, great beauty, or something that's very beautiful or excellent. So I wonder which kind of glory it is. If we could have the next one. Whose house do you think that is? Mine, yeah, definitely. I'm going for the upbeat golden look. Somebody must guess whose house that is. No, I think the Queen's slightly more. Who's super tacky and very proud of himself and thinks that everyone else? Donald Trump, yeah, Donald Trump. So I think Donald Trump, if you read about him, all that seems to matter to him, to be honest, is his own glory. Even when his policies have worked quite well, he's not interested if people don't actually acknowledge the fact that he did it. He seems to be very self-glorifying. And I don't think that's what this passage means. I'm sure God didn't give us Christ in us, the hope of us being super Trump-like. So that can't be quite right, can it? Can we have the next one? If you look back at Jesus, which is what we said in the beginning, didn't we, about God being shown to us in Jesus, some of us have seen his glory full of loving forgiveness and truth. So maybe that's what glory really is, full of grace and truth. It's not to do with great accolades. I'm sure this passage does mean about our eternal salvation. I think it must do, mustn't it? The hope of glory. But actually, the hope of glory is something much more down to earth and here. I'm sure some of you must have, sorry, I'm eating this thing, sorry, must have read this book. If you haven't, I will buy you one. I think it's so brilliant. I think everyone should read it. It's called Dirty Glory. It's about by Pete Gregg, the 24/7 guy. And you might think, well, that's a weird title, Dirty Glory. I don't think Trump would fancy any dirt in his golden house. The whole point, really, I think he's saying is that the incarnation is about dirty glory. It's about God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. And it's actually what we're called to do as well. We are meant to be glory, Jesus in us, in the dirty places of life. I can look around this room and see people in this room who I know are day by day down in the dirt, in difficult situations, with tricky customers, struggling in awful situations, and they have the glory of Jesus in them, and they are showing it. It might not be obvious, but God is working. And I think that's what the hope of glory is crucially about, how we utilize Jesus in us and express that glory to people all around us, to give them hope. There's fascinating books in this words, and so many stories of people finding God in the most extraordinary places, you know, brothels and prostitutes and drug dens and gangs and just Jesus. And it's not at all in a traditional church sense. And I think that is the truth of it, isn't it? That because the hope of glory, Christ in us, means wherever we go, however bad, there will always be that hope of glory, of loving forgiveness and truth. So go to the next one, please. Now, just so that you don't forget, because you might forget all of it, this is my cat, Alfie. We have two cats. Now, this cat is our boy cat, who looks a bit like a fox, I always think. And as you can see, he's got a very strange scar on his neck. Now, the background of this was that Alfie kept losing weight, a lot of weight, and looked like he was about to pass away. And it turned out he'd got an overactive thyroid. And, you know, we've all got thyroid glands in our neck, and I think some people here may have had thyroid issues themselves. And humans get overactive thyroids quite a lot. And it's treated with medication, and duly we gave Alfie the medication. Unfortunately, he reacted to it very badly and became jaundiced, so he couldn't have medication any longer. Now, the issue with cats is that whereas we tend to have a thyroid gland in our neck, cats apparently have what's called ectopic thyroid, which means they get thyroid bits in other parts of their body. So even if you remove their thyroid gland, you may end up with an overactive thyroid from other bits of their body. So the vet suggested that the best gold standard treatment for this cat is to have radioiodine, right? Now, this is going to cost between $2,000 and $3,000. And this will travel around his body with a radioactive isotope. The thyroid, wherever it is, will take up the iodine. It will kill off the thyroid tissue, and he will never be thyrotoxic again. So this is obviously what you should do, Mrs. Johnson. Okay, I think I need to discuss this with my family. The other option is they could look in his neck and just see if they could see anything that looked obviously overactive. Thankfully, that is what they did, because I wasn't going to pay $2,000 or $3,000. And they removed a bit of thyroid, and he's now fine. But the thing about this story is that the reason it was so expensive was because Alfie had to be kept in hospital, vet hospital, for probably a month. Because after having the radioiodine, he would be leaking out radioisotope everywhere he went. So he couldn't be with people, he couldn't be with children, he couldn't be with other animals. He would have to be encased until the Geiger counter reading got so low that he was safe to come out. Now, if you're thinking, what on earth is she on about? I think you probably worked it out. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Can I have the next one, please, Dawn? On Monday morning, when I get up with a bad headache, feeling cross and scared of the week ahead, Jesus doesn't move out, does he? He doesn't move out on a bad day. He's there. And although for Alfie, the radioisotope would have eventually gone, the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus in us, he never goes. It says he's in us, the hope of glory. Wherever we go, we carry the kingdom of God because he is in us. So two secrets. Jesus is God, shows us just what God is like. Second secret, Jesus is in us, both for future glory in heaven, which I haven't really talked about because I'm a bit scared about heaven, but somebody can explain it to me, but also to fill us with grace and truth by the Holy Spirit, transforming us to be like him, which is so hard to believe, isn't it? But actually, it's what he promises, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If you forget everything else, think about my poor cat, radioiodine coming out, Jesus in us, the hope of glory tomorrow morning, whatever's happening, wherever you are, and the glory of God in the depths of whatever difficult situations you're in, your children, your family, your workplace, your neighbours, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And it's assured hope. Okay, thank you.